The next item of furniture is the altar of incense, also made of gold. And as with the table of showbread, it also had four horns of gold on all four corners. But we're not going to get into any of that kind of detail today. But that is important to note. And you can go in the Bible, ask God for revelation. He will give it to you in its time. But the altar of incense, the purpose of it was to have hot coals taken from the first altar that they came from that burnt the animals. Those coals were taken from there. They were put on here. And incense, fragrant incense, that when it hit the live red coals, turned into smoke and filled the area with a beautiful perfume. Just like perfume is a delight to us to smell, and body odors are not, God likes pleasantries. God likes fragrance. How many times it said that when they made an altar and put the meat on there and roasted it, it said the Lord could smell in heaven a beautiful aroma. Have you ever been and the neighbors put out a barbecue next door? It's just like, follow your nose, you know. Now, you might not be a meat eater, you might be a vegan, but you cannot say that that's not a nice fragrance. And so, the Lord likes fragrance. That's the only point I was trying to make. I wasn't trying to teach on barbecuing this morning. It's just like, the Lord likes fragrance. And I think it has a practical application. Don't come in with your body odor when you're going to come and worship the Lord. I think it's very important to know. I mean, you don't have to come in perfume so bad that you give people allergies. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about clean. I'm talking about pleasant. I'm talking about something beautiful. Now, it's very healing. That pleasantry is healing. I just want to show you something. Do you remember when the judgment came upon the people? The priest took from the coals of the altar that had the fragrance on it that filled the place where he ministered all day of a beautiful fragrance. He put it in a censer. It was a little tiny thing that they put a few coals in that distilled out of maybe a nose or something. It distilled the smoke. And when judgment had come, he ran through the people. He ran through the congregation with his smoke. And the fragrance, if they got to smell the fragrance, it would heal them or stop the plague upon them. And it says God was pleased. Even though he had sent the judgment, he was pleased. Now, the altar of incense represents worship, praise, and prayer. Do you know that for most people in most churches, worship means 10 minutes of a choir singing and entertaining you, and then you go on from there to the main parts of the service? Well, let me tell you, the main part of the service is right there at the altar of incense. It is right there. Worship, praise, goes up like a smoke, like a fragrance in the eyes of God. If it stopped devils from bringing plagues and killing people in the middle by just having to smell that, they had to evaporate out of there. I want to tell you that even till today, while you're worshiping God with your heart concentrated on God, devils hate that and they are so far from here. And that is the most blessed thing any pastor could ever want in his services. The devil long gone from there. Most people don't get him out of there and just have their service. And it's like rowing through peanut butter in a boat instead of on a lake. Try that. Listen. I've been a pastor for over 30-some years. I can tell you a little bit about pastoring. I can tell you what it is when devils are gone, and I can tell you when they're all there facing you in the face, making everything impossible. Your people are looking at you. Some are getting up halfway through the service and leaving, and all the rest, and he's just having a field day. You know what? We've forgotten the power of worship. We have forgotten the power of praise. Praise will do something to the devil you have no clue. Now, I've preached on that here before, and there's been an enormous improvement. But I just want to tell you, I think we don't need any more improvement. We just need some more of it. It needs to be the main part of our service. And then whatever's left over, that's great. Let those that are hungry stay for it and let those that aren't leave. Remember, that comes from a pastor. I've learned some things over the years. I've learned that you can't pile drive food into people that aren't hungry. Let them leave. There's always going to be people that stay 3 days without eating because they can't get enough from the real bread of life until he has mercy and starts breaking bread and feeding 10,000 of them at a time. There's always going to be those kind of people. Listen, don't get discouraged because some people leave. Let them leave.
That's right.
They'll come back. They're hungry enough for another drop or two. Do you know that most people leave because worship time and praise time get too long? There's a percentage I've worked out. 90% ministry to God will do 100% ministry to people. 10% ministry to God will do nothing for the people. They'll die. Why? Because when you're worshiping God, you're invoking God. When you're worshiping God, He shows up. The Holy Spirit over there in the candlestick's going crazy. He's just like, woo, I'm ready to move here.
That's right.
When that incense begins to flow and that fragrance begins to come, God is drawn to what's happening. And devils do not like it. Not only in the holy place, they don't like it when you take it out there in the congregation. They got to stop whatever nuisance they're doing and whatever damage they're doing. They got to stop in their tracks. Well, I like that as a pastor. I don't like my people getting beat up by the devil. I want them out of there. I don't want you depending on me. I want you to have your own God, and you will if you worship Him. That's why I tell people, listen, when worship's going on, don't just watch it, do it.
Amen.
I'll look around and half the people have their mouth shut. How can you worship with a mouth shut?
That's right.
If you honor God, stand. Well, I can't, my knees. He will heal them. At least long enough for you to stand and honor Him.
That's right.
Now, we want God. This is the way to get Him. The holy place is a place where you're in the spirit world. I'll tell you, there's nothing that will get you into the spirit world and in the spirit realm faster than through praise and worship. We had a service a couple weeks ago where it was just like, woo, a heavy spirit came in there. It's like the devil sat on the front row and said, let's see what you can do with this. That only makes me angry. With the devil, of course. I don't blame people. They're under the same blanket. But boy, he was staring me right in the face. You're not going to do anything. I turned to my musician and I said, I don't want any music. Turned to the people and said, stand up. And then started belting out of the bottom of my soul with more intensity than you could ever hope a 73-year-old man would ever have. And I began to praise the Lord. And I praised Him until all heaven opened up and the devil left so fast we didn't have a count on how fast he left. And suddenly the heavens were open and God was there. No music. He can't stop me. I've learned the secrets of the altar of incense. God put that one just before the holy place. Only a little veil separates me from going over into the other world and staying there forever. And God is radiating His glorious presence from there. You will never be closer to God than in the holiest of all. But the next one to it is during worship and praise. If you have a congregation where nothing is happening and the devil's there, try prayer. The altar of incense has to do with prayer. And I'm talking about the kind of prayer that's intense, not the kind of prayer, oh dear Jesus, would you do something with this devil? No. God, we need you today. God, I'm not going home without a touch from you. I've been beat up by this thing all week long. I'm not going to get beat up by him any longer. Be triumphant in your circumstances. Don't tell me all about your problems. You know, most of our prayers are telling God about all the problems we have when He knows all about them. What do you want Him to do about it? Let your prayers be more about what you want Him to do with your problem than telling Him all about your problem. That's real prayer. I want open heavens for me today, and I want open heavens for all these dear brothers that are here today meeting with me. I want God to touch their life. I want the sick to begin to be healed. I want those that are depressed for that spirit to lift off of them. Lord, I want today, this moment, I release your Holy Spirit to come and open their mind and their understanding so they're plugged into what we're saying today, so it's real to them and they put it into practice. Now, this is prayer.
Yes, amen.
The Bible says, according to my hands command ye me. Some people think it's wrong to tell God what to do. He's waiting for you to tell Him what to do. He's not going to work in our world without our permission. He put us in charge of the world. What do you want me to do with your president? I want you to keep him. I want you to protect him and his family. I want you to give him wisdom to rule on our country. I'm not asking you for a preacher in the White House. I'm asking you for a man that will lead the country in the way you want it to be led. I'm not going to sit here and criticize him because he's not the best Christian in the world and not vote for him and then vote against the will of God. I'm not going to talk about politics here this morning. I'm just talking about righteousness. I'm talking about prayer. Prayer that all these witches and warlocks and many children at this moment whose blood is being shed and human sacrifices are being sacrificed to get him out of office will never triumph. There are prayer meetings that would make hair on your arms and your head stand up straight if you listened to our prayer meetings on Wednesday night, praying for our country and for our people and for our president. It would pull you so full of faith that you'd be charged with faith for the next week. That's the kind of praying God wants to hear. That's the kind of praying on the altar of incense. The altar of incense is a place of power. We're in the spirit realm. We're in a realm where we move God. We're in a realm where God is moved by us. We move in a realm where we know we have power with our Father. He's my dad. I go to my dad, I got a problem. I need it fixed. Dad's there to fix it. I might break a window, but my dad's going to fix it. God might not be at fault for what we do, but He makes Himself responsible. He's going to come on the scene. We've got a country with problems. God is giving us, I think, a decade of time for the church to get straight. And I hope it gets straight. I hope we learn about repentance. I hope we have a lot of frankincense in our preaching and praying and our life. I hope we have enough life food from God to change us. I hope Christians quit being so legalistic that they want a perfect preacher in the office. Forget that nonsense. Put the perfect preacher in your church. That's where you need him.
Amen.
God says honor them. Honor them because they have to answer to me for you. Make their work easy. That's what he says. Make their work easy so that they don't lament having to pastor you. That's what the apostles taught. Doesn't God say he gives the people the leader that they deserve?
Yes, yes, yes.
So why do you complain to God? This is what you deserve. Thank God he didn't give you somebody that's off there teaching you a bunch of error and you're a bunch of people living for the world to wake up when you die on the other side you didn't even intend to go to. Somebody that will teach you the purity that's in the frankincense. Thank God for pastors that love true worship and are willing to pay the price to not entertain people so that their church gets filled and they can tell the denomination that it's growing hands and foot. But someone who loves the Lord, someone's able to pay the price, someone that's triumphant in their circumstances, someone that's been beaten by the devil in their health, beaten by the devil in their family, beaten by the devil with their daughter, beaten down on every side, and yet you see somebody stand up and bless you.
Amen.
Pray for people after God's own heart to be your shepherds, like David was for Israel and not Saul. Amen. This is good. That wasn't a plug for your pastor. That's just truth. That's the way it is. Have you ever heard a statement thrown at you? Well, Jesus wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Of course He wouldn't. Do you know the verse I love the most that Jesus gave to us to answer people like that? Jesus said to them, I came from above. I was pre-existent. I'm God. He put me in a piece of flesh. That's why I could do it. So don't think for a minute that you could do it because you're not God. You didn't come from above. He said, you come from below. You came from the Adam's race with all your weaknesses, with all your tendencies, with all your failures, with all your physical DNA messed up. That's how you came in here. I don't expect you to be like me, but if you love on me, I'll make you like me. Paul said that to the Corinthians in 3:18. He said, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, that's worshiping, that's praising, you shall be changed into the same image. Hallelujah. See, I love frankincense. I love truth. He is the spirit of truth. I love this. But truth doesn't necessarily beat you over the head. Truth gives you the answers for life. Amen. So where was I? The altar of incense. The altar of incense is a place of total importance in our spirit world because it is the very thing that will open the world of the spirit to you more than anything else. I call it open heavens. I know in a service when we've gone from the natural realm into the realm of the Spirit, where it's open and God begins to minister to people. They'll start weeping or they'll fall or they'll start just loving the Lord and worshiping. I have heard the most beautiful, intimate things said to God out loud where they didn't care. They weren't even aware anybody else was there. They were gone into another world, to that world of God. And they were ministering to Him. I've heard people in perfect poetry that don't even know how to rhyme one word from another. In perfect poetry, just speak to the Lord in languages of love that makes your tears just come down listening to Him. Only by the Holy Spirit. Only by people in the world of the Spirit. You can never get tired of worshiping God. We've had services where it starts with praise, it goes on to worship, and it stays in worship for hours and it doesn't change. And suddenly one person will come up with something over here that's beautiful in their worship, and somebody else in a song. And sometimes we have like prophetic music, and while that's going on, everybody is singing a song of the Lord that's different with the same tune. Words. You'll walk down the aisle and listen to these absolutely beautiful words flowing from people, and they're doing it to the music that's there, but the words are totally different one from another. But they all have to do with God, not with them. His beauty, His wonder, His faithfulness, His glory, whatever. It all has to do about God for hours. But you know what I have discovered? The people that show most change in their life are the ones that are worshipers. Sermons didn't change them. Preaching doesn't change people. It just gives them the information they need if they want to change. But then you'll have to go to the altar of incense to do that. I would love to have the time this morning to tell you what the ingredients were of the fragrance that went on there, but that would take more than today's message to do. There's beautiful ingredients. Go in the Bible, find what the ingredients are, and then find out what they had to do to make them, and that will show you the qualities of what God is looking for in the essence that goes into worship. That's what God's looking for. So worship is an essence that's real in our life to approach the presence of God. I don't know of anybody who has tangibly felt the person of the Godhead that is not a worshiper. I have not. You have to have the spirit world open to you because He is a spirit. That's why in John 4 it says, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit. That's why when you are a worshiper in the spirit world, that's where God is tangible. That's where He is. Now, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the what?
Midst
of them. And I've often told people, Jesus said, when you personally pray, close yourself in the closet. Don't be yelling and screaming and driving the rest of the family crazy. Just go in your closet and in the secret of your own life with God, pray. Because Jesus is with you in the closet. Most of my intense praying, I never open my mouth because He lives right here. I know where He is. Why should I talk to Him out there when He's here? That's your closet. Let me tell you, where's Jesus right now? In the midst of us, because we're gathered together in His name, right? But when you're home alone, where is He? Right here. So talk to Him in there. Go in. Don't go out. So now that He's in the midst of us, you're going to have to say it out loud because He's right here in the middle. So if you're going to worship Him, worship Him with the rest of us because He's in the middle. God gives us all His instructions already in His Word. I mean, there's nothing you can miss. It's there. The altar of incense is a place of expression. The altar of incense represents a place where you get ready to meet with God. You go up in smoke. Hallelujah. You go up in smoke into the world of the Spirit. You go up with that fragrance. Isn't that something? You just go up with a fragrance, just like you do with a barbecue of the person next door. You just go up with a fragrance. Follow the fragrance. It'll take you to where He is. Do you know that's why people can't help themselves? They just explode outwardly because they're feeling the tangible presence of Jesus or the Holy Spirit in the midst of the meetings. Have you ever been to a Benny Hinn crusade? While they're worshiping, the presence of God comes down and it's so tangible you can feel it. That's what happens in our services. That's what God wants to bring here. And you're on the way there very beautifully. And I could feel it like electricity just running through my body. It's tangible because you're already in the world of the Spirit. You already know how to get there. You already know what to expect. You already know that He will never fail you. He will always be there, but He doesn't let you feel that way while you're at the hotel. He waits till the last minute. Why? Because you don't have to do anything at the hotel. You don't have to do anything in the car when you're driving here. You only have to do something when you stand up. I'm believing in my heart, Pastor, that the anointing that I have is going to rub off, and you're not going to need a note in the world. You're going to stand up under the power of the Holy Ghost and fill them full of the Holy Ghost, drop and distill honey on all of them. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and a law that will make him repent. If you pray for him when he stands up there and says, God, cut him loose, he will.
We love it when he cuts loose.
Amen. Cut him loose. Say, Lord, cut him loose. Just like a Doberman pincher after the devil. Cut him loose, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to have church services where the Holy Ghost comes down and just begins to rush through this place. And then it's going to go out there into town where other people are going to want to sense that glorious presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
And one thing I know, the more you tap into the world of the Spirit, the more you're not going to be able to keep your tears back. When you begin to feel the tangible presence of God, you can't help it. Your tears will just pop out of your eyes and run down your face because you're aware something's happening inside of you right there. And it may not necessarily be what somebody is saying. It's just that while they're saying it, God's doing His deal. Because we're in the world of the Spirit. That's my job, to get you there. What's the point in showing off? That'll leave you where you are. I want to bring you where I am. That's why Jesus prayed that prayer. Did you know He prayed that prayer? Father, I pray for them that where I am, they also might be. That's what He was saying. That's my desire, that you will be where I am, to know the liberty of the Spirit. You have an idea or a clue what you're going to say, but you trust Him because He's faithful and because God is the one that wants to minister to you. If I was in that world and you're in the natural, you'd be gone already this morning. You wouldn't be here. So that's why worship is so important. That's why praise is so important. In fact, praise is more important to clear the atmosphere, and worship is more important to draw Jesus in. So both are important. I like to start with praise. Would to God you had a whole lot more services that went praise, get rid of the devil, praise God, exalt Him. He loves thanksgiving. Let every one of your prayers be seasoned with it. And so that's what the apostles tell us. And so after you get past that, then go into worship. Just let God pour it into just one worship song after another, and the pastor get lost. And you say, well, brother, you know, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. We haven't had a message. No, but you've had Jesus. He is the Word. The altar of incense. The beauty of the altar of incense. The coals. I want to say something about the coals for just a minute. Do you remember in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. The moment he began to feel the presence of God, he was in the world of the Spirit. I want to say something here for just a minute. King Uzziah was in charge as a king of the religious world, but wasn't called to be a priest. God didn't give him that calling. He gave him the calling of a king. But he was in charge of the whole religious system, of the priests, of the temple, of everything. He just couldn't officiate before the Lord because he wasn't called to do that. But one day, pride got to his head, and he came to the temple, and he wanted to officiate before the Lord as a priest. And the priest stopped him at the door and says, please, don't do this. That's a vile sin against God. Please don't do this. He hasn't called you to do this. He's only called you to be a king, and that's good, and you're a good king, and you're over all this religious system. Now remember, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. You can't be in a religious system and see the Lord. You can't be in the world of the Spirit and be in a world of religion. You're going to have to forsake religion to have the real deal. If you want to live in the world of the Spirit, you're going to have to forsake what every other church wants in this nice little religious way of being entertained, of singing a few songs, having a sermon, giving your offerings, and going home. But let's get back to King Uzziah, because I have something to say here. Isaiah writes, in the year that King Uzziah died, religion has to die before the reality of the world of the Spirit can begin to live. When King Uzziah died, that's when he saw the Lord. That's when the heavens opened. That's when he came in. Listen, you can't mix the two. You got to get rid of religion. You got to get rid of anything that's just people come, they sit down, they sing a song, they open a hymnal. They don't even know what it says. They just read the words and then they go home. It's got to come from your heart, not from the hymnal. Now, let me go back to the king. The reason the king died is because he took on himself a responsibility God didn't give him, and he worked in a calling that God hadn't called him to. Do you know that there's a lot of people in the church that think that they should be the pastor, or think that they should be the person in charge at the office, or think that they should be a secretary, or think that they should be somebody else, and because nobody puts them there, they get offended, and they create a mess in the church for everybody, and they go around, and they badmouth this person, they badmouth the pastor, they badmouth, and leprosy will strike them, and before you know, they leave the church, and many of them physically die. The best thing is to stay within the level of your calling. And if you're faithful to that calling, God will give you another one. It's not bad to wish you had something more. Paul said, covet the better gifts. If you're not a prophet and if you don't prophesy, he said, covet it. In other words, desire it. It's good to desire. Ask God for it. He'll give it to you. If you'll submit, If you'll come under, God will open the doors that no man can close, we just said. The Holy Spirit will be there for you. If you long to do more for God, He's going to open doors for you. He's looking for you. And the nice thing about repentance is you can always turn around. If you made a mistake in your life, you can always turn around. If King Uzziah had made that mistake and realized he made the mistake even after struck with leprosy, if he'd have turned to the Lord and said, I was wrong, would you receive me back? God would have wiped out his leprosy. He didn't have to die. If you left the church, come back. If you wish for something and didn't get it and made a fool of yourself, come back and stay. I made a fool of myself. I'd like to be accepted back into the family. Amen, brother. Come back. Right. We'll welcome you with open arms. In Spanish, they have a saying. The person who's never kicked out can always come back without permission. So how we got to Isaiah from the altar of incense? The Lord's making a mess of my series this morning. I guess the Lord knows where we're all at and what we need. I'm at fault because I'm doing it. But I'm not responsible because I know who's saying this stuff. I know who He is, and I know how He speaks. And I know the seriousness and the authority with which He says what He does. Anytime you hear someone and you recognize authority, remember that the Lord says, all authority comes from me, and I give it to whom so I please. So if you hear authority behind a statement, you are hearing the Holy Spirit, not that individual, because authority isn't born in us. We don't have authority. The man that came to Jesus as a centurion and asked him to just send the word, and Jesus was amazed at his faith, said, I am a man under authority. He didn't say, I am a man in authority. We don't have authority other than the authority that's given to us. So when we speak with authority, we have to know as people that when you start hearing a voice with authority, you are hearing God. Whether it's a politician or whether it's a pastor or whether it's a brother or sister. If you hear in that voice authority, you know it's God that's speaking, so it'd be a good idea to pay attention. It's just that way. Boy, we're learning a lot this morning.
Yes, we are. It's good stuff. Keep going.
The altar of incense is the place of worship, is the place of song, is the place of praise. Where is it fulfilled prophetically in our revivals after the charismatic move? Do you know that that's been just shortly behind us and as we're still in it right now? Worship songs, praise songs like never before in this last 20 years has erupted. New songs of the Lord have been given in every nation, every tongue, every country, every place you go. The hill songs from Australia, no matter where you go, new songs. There's so many new songs, you hardly sing the same song over. For 1900 years, we only sang hymns until the altar of incense was fulfilled and the revival hit the world. The singing revival, the song revival, the song of the Lord revival. You'd be amazed how many new songs of the Lord are born in our services. Songs from heaven, new tunes from heaven. They just keep pouring down. We're at the altar of incense. This is the time when it's happening. No matter in what nation I go, there's new songs in their language, in their places. God keeps pouring it out. That's the altar of incense. Never before has there been so much worship and so much praise. Not just in charismatic churches. It's just everywhere, even the Baptists. It's amazing. It's brought a change in everybody. Because we are right there, right before the Holy of Holies. We are right there before the next breakthrough of God, where the Father is going to break through to the world. The Son has been revealed, the Holy Spirit is revealed, the world of His Spirit is revealed, and now we're on the threshold of the greatest thing that's ever happened to this world. When Jesus was here, He told us about it. When He resurrected was the first time He made this statement after resurrection. After He'd gone to the throne and paid the price for us, Jesus made this statement. When Mary tried to touch Him, and He said, don't touch me, I haven't been to the Father. I haven't gone to my Father and your Father. That's the first time we discovered the statement that because of His payment, God opened the doors for all of us to become His personal child. With full inheritance privileges of His Son. Amazing. So you know what's going to happen? We're going to get to know our daddy for the first time. He's going to show up on the scene. Amen. That's the holiest of all. I wonder sometimes why it's necessary for each one of these items in the tabernacle to be located where they are. And I realize that there is a divine design. God said, according to the pattern that you see on the mount in the vision of heaven, I want you to replicate it on earth and do it exactly. Don't do anything different. And put the altar of incense right up there, just behind the veil that separates the Ark of the Covenant and the glory Shekinah of God. I want it there because it's going to reveal the last revival before the great explosive revelation of God Himself upon the world. That's when billions of people are going to come into the kingdom. All I can tell you is that as never before, there's a revival of songs. That's what's happening. There's a revival of songs. Sometimes a revival of filling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes a revival of miracles and signs and wonders. The altar is none of that. The altar of incense is simply this. The song of praise. The song of worship. The song of the Lord. And there's many songs of the Lord. When you enter the world of the Spirit and that song begins, the Holy Spirit begins to bring that song from heaven, you're actually hearing what they're singing in heaven. Do you know that God previews every song He invents with the angels and the four living elders and the 144,000 that bow before the throne? They sing the songs that no man has heard. That's because they're previewing it before He sends it down here. And there's people that are sensitive to the world of the Spirit, that are His child, that live in the world of the Spirit, that live in the kingdom, that live in the holy place, that are at the altar of incense, experience in their life. They're at that maturity, and they're hearing the song, they're hearing the words, and they're bringing it into this world as they're hearing it up there. And there's songs of Jesus to His bride, and there's songs of the bride to Jesus. There's songs of the Holy Spirit about Jesus and the Father. There's all kinds of songs of the Father to His children, and the Father to His Son, and the Father to the Holy Spirit, and you're singing all of them. There's two types of songs that we sing. In praise, the direction is to God. In worship, the direction is to God. Any other singing has to do with us. Churches that aren't sensitive to the world of the Spirit don't know anything about this world we're talking about in the holy place. Most of their songs have to do with them. About the Lord healing them, about the Lord touching them, about the Lord prospering them. It's all about them. All the songs have to do about them. Do you know where that was born? On earth. Those don't come from heaven. Everything that comes from heaven is about Him. That's how you know if you're at the altar of incense or if you're at the altar of religion. Very simple. Tell me, for many years before the expression of God that came upon the world of the altar of incense, before the prophetic revelation on the world, before this revival of songs that came to the world, weren't most of our songs about that? Yet all the hymns that came out of the first revival, the first church, they were all about what? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, for grace to love Him more. Those people had come out of the world of the Spirit. They came out of the real deal. Every revival for a short time, whether it was through Martin Luther, whether through the Wesleys, any one of these revival restorations of God, in every one of them, for a short period of that revival, the song shifted and they sang about Him. And so God wants us to turn His way.